It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
For today's lesson, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5, and we're going to go through chapter 2, verse 2. I've entitled today's lesson, Test 2, Affirming the Reality of Sin. So we've been going through these different tests in the book of 1 John, and we're going to continue to do that. And today will be the second test that we're going to look at. But first off, let me start by reading the verses. We're going to start in 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So this is just excellent. As we look through the text here, and I said we're going to run through chapter 2, verse 2. So that last little second there where it says chapter 2, verse 2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. So we're going to look at all of this in context and see what's going on here and what it is that John's wanting us to get out of this test. He's making the point crystal clear that sin is a very real thing and a very big thing. Those who deny the reality of sin thereby show their lack of salvation. Because if you do not affirm the reality of sin, then you are making God a liar. And that's what he just told us, that sin is a very real thing. And those who practice it and don't affirm it are a liar. These verses show habitual, unrepentant sin in the life of a professing Christian. However, we know that that's a stark contrast to what a believer is. A true believer will not have habitual, unrepentant sin. True Christians just don't sin over and over and over and not confess it and repent of it, but rather they war against it. And that's really the difference here that I want to convey is, we as Christians, we are going to sin, but we are going to hate our sin and we're going to war against it. Even if it's a sin that we really battle, such as anxiety or self-control, you know, some things like that where we find ourselves falling into that trap over and over and over. But every time it happens, we war against it. We get back up. We repent of it. We're aware of that. It's going on. And we confess it. And we try hard by the power of the Holy Spirit not to do it again. That is so totally different than a professing believer who is just doing habitual sin over and over and over and they're not repentant. There is a definite contrast on that. And I want to stress that as we kind of go on through the text here. Unbelievers will actually plan sin out. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? What does that look like, planning sin out? Well, here's some examples. Where a true Christian might just be flipping through the channels on TV and they see something they don't want to, they might stumble a little bit in their thought life. And it's something unintentional, it's quick, it happens, and they move past it. Whereas a false professing unbeliever, is how I would like to say it, is they will actually plan out their sin with this same scenario. Rather than quickly changing the channel like a believer would, they would actually take the time to plan their life or their schedule around such content. So certain movies or TV shows, they might even throw like a watch party, or they would plan to DVR it, you know, record the program. So they know that that program is going to have questionable content in it. It might have cussing or blasphemy or sexual content. And if you want more practical examples of what I'm talking about, let's look at the show The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. There are many people that love that show, and they plan their entire routines and schedules around that so they can be home in order to catch it. Or they'll have the girlfriends come over and they'll have a little watch party and they'll get together and they'll analyze it and talk about it. They know full well what is in that program, that there's going to be immodesty. There's going to be sexual content. There's going to be gossip. There's going to be some misuses of God's name, even some cussing that's apparently acceptable on TV for certain words. They don't bleep those out. They allow them to be shown and heard. And so that's kind of a practical example of what I'm referring to here. Whereas a Christian could be flipping through the same channels, catch that, and be horrified at what they see, but accidentally stumble and fall into a thought life sin or a lustful thought, something like that. And so that is a big difference between a professing Christian and a possessing Christian. If you proclaim to be a Christ follower, then you are going to war against those things. You're not going to actively tune into them and plan your schedule around it and plan out your sin in a sense. So I think that kind of goes the same with movies that are out there. You know, there was the 50 Shades of Grey that recently came out. Same thing. There was professing, believing Christian women that were going to see that movie. They had no problem with it. They were fine with buying a ticket and going into the theater and watching that. That is planning out deliberate sin. That is a problem. So John is talking about these types of sins where it's habitual, unrepentant sin that is not characteristic of a believer. When he starts talking about the light and the darkness, you know, we hear that right there in verse 6. It starts right off kind of from the very beginning of this passage. But when he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So I want to kind of camp out on that thought there for a minute. If you are practicing darkness but professing to be a believer, you don't have fellowship with Christ because they don't go together. Light is always characteristic of truth, and we equate that truth with Jesus. He is the one who said, I am the light of the world, after all. You know, I mean, that actually came from the mouth of Jesus. And so he is truth. He is all-knowing. He is goodness, and he is characteristic of that phrase, the light. But darkness refers to anything that's hidden or false. So John says that if we walk in darkness and we try to say we have fellowship with Christ, then we lie and we are a liar. The two have nothing to do with one another. Light and dark are like oil and water. They do not mix. So I want to talk about that thought of darkness, because darkness can come in many different forms. And when I think of, you know, him saying practicing darkness, it comes to mind different things that we see very popular right now in the world that we live in. Certain things such as the Twilight series, where it's dealing with vampires and this rising popularity of vampires and werewolves and zombies and all these just dark images and dark concepts. They are rampant right now in our books and in the TV shows and movies that are coming out. You've got things that the TV show was kind of back in the day, but it's still popular. It's called Charmed. There's fantasy mystical books that are all surrounded and entrenched in witchcraft and demonic activity. Ladies, that is darkness. That is partnering with darkness. So there's also different things that come to form as when I think of that as well, as far as mediums and psychics. All of that is very, very popular right now. And there are professing Christians that are entrenched in that. They watch those shows. They want to listen to what the psychic has to say. They watch these TV shows that are all about mediums and sorcery and witchcraft. That is darkness. And there are many New Age practices going on right now, such as yoga, Reiki, meditation, and so on. All of those things are darkness. They have nothing to do with Christ. And so if there's any of that that you're involved in, I encourage you just to stop and look at that and see how that might not line up with what Christians are supposed to be doing, that those New Age practices are derived from Hindu and Buddhist beliefs, something that is totally contrary to the teachings of Christ. And I'm going to camp out on another thought for here just for a minute about the Jesus Calling book. Jesus Calling is very, very popular right now. A lot of people are reading it. And ladies, if any of you are reading it, that is a New Age channeling book. What Sarah Young is doing in that book is an occultic practice. That is darkness. And I urge you to throw it away, to get rid of that book and confess that sin and repent and cry out to the Lord to ask Him to forgive you for being taken in by something so deceptive as a Christian, I put that in quotes, devotional book. That is very, very dangerous. And you don't want to be partnering with that darkness if you're a professing Christian. So, you know, these are just some very key things that we need to keep in mind, because as we continue in the text that we're studying here, John tells us that basically he's writing these things so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who's righteous. So we hear that and we see what he's saying there, and he is urging us not to sin, not to partner with darkness, but to have the light of the world that lives within you, who is Jesus Christ. So if you're professing that and you are claiming to be a believer, that you claim what is in the Bible, then you do not want to have any partnering with darkness in your life. If you see any of that today, I ask you to just confess it and repent and turn from that. And I want to just stop and ask, did you pass this test? Did you pass this test that John is asking us about here of affirming the reality of sin? Do you affirm what sin is? Then you've passed the test. Are you giving up forms of darkness and not partnering with that so that you can be in the light as Christ is the light? I just caution you to think about that today and really examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith by going through this second test of affirming the reality of sin. Ladies, you can find this Bible study under naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab, Test 2, Affirming the Reality of Sin, Lesson 6.